Praise the Lord. Some of the scriptures I had, Naveen just read, so it will save time. So I'd like you to turn with me to the end of John's Gospel. Where Jesus met with the disciples on the seashore. And we know this story. It says in verse 15 of chapter 21, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So Jesus is restoring Peter. And Peter had denied him three times. And Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" He asked him, "Do you agape me?" the first time. "Do you agape me?" the second time. And Peter replied to those times, "Lord, I phileo you." Because he was no longer self-confident. And he had been broken. He had failed, and he was no longer the Peter who said, "I'll never deny you." So he said, "I phileo you." And the third time, Jesus asked him and said, "Do you phileo me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I phileo you." And Jesus, each of these three times, said, "Feed my sheep," or "Feed my lambs." So we see here that Jesus is not, I don't think this is just for Peter, I think it's for all of us, that loving God means loving God's people. And I don't want to leave it there and say, well, that just means brothers and sisters, but it means loving everyone. We heard this morning to love our enemies is perhaps the hardest for us. But we want to have a love for the lost. They may not be our enemies, but we want to have a love for the lost. And that verse that Naveen read in 1 John 4, the verse 21, which he didn't read, said, "And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God should love his brother also." So it's very clear that loving God is tied to loving our brother, who we can see. And it's also tied to loving the lost. So we want to accept that challenge. You see, what I see in America a lot is a desire to have a nice life and not have troubled people in my life. Not to have people who demand anything from me. I want to live a life where, you know, I have a nice big property and no neighbors that come on it. It's not the mi casa, su casa. It's the mi casa, not your casa. And the lie in that is that if I have everything smooth in my life, that I'll be happy. And there is a lie in that. Because that does not bring joy. Brother Jonathan shared about what can our lives have meaning. And we've never made it a goal and never should make it a goal to be famous, but we should make it a goal to be a blessing. And if we're a blessing, the blessing carries on in the lives of those we've blessed, that their lives are changed and they change lives that change lives. There's a book that Claudia's recommended. It's called Anxiety Generation, which I haven't read, but one of the staff members was talking to me about that yesterday, and how they're seeing so much trouble in youth. There are so many youth who are struggling with pornography, or girls struggling with loving themselves, acceptance, and a lot of meaninglessness and a lack of connection with people. We only look at these things. We don't talk or make eye contact. And how they're trying to reach that generation. And children are more isolated today. Used to be they were outside and played baseball together. Now kids are on devices and isolated. And there's a challenge in all of this. How can love reach these who need it so much? So I'd like to turn to just one verse in Philippians that Naveen just read. It says, look not on your own interest, but also to the interest of others. The American ideal that I just described is selfish, and it doesn't look to the interest of others. It looks to my own interest. And that's an empty life. Paul writes to Timothy that the widow who lives in pleasure and self-indulgence is dead while she lives. So we want to be those whose hearts are overflowing in love, and love looks at the interest of others. There's a definition of love that it comes from Judaism. It says that what's important to you is important to me. Now, that doesn't endorse wrong desires, but the fact that it's important to you makes me listen to you and want to carry that burden and pray for you and reach out to you and travel with you to a better place. Today, about not judging others and the hospitality, meaning loving people who are different than us. And the biggest thing that has helped me not to judge people has been going to prison. When I went to prison in 2000, the Lord began a real big work in my life of not judging people. Now, it doesn't mean I can't see that there are problems, but it means that I don't stand as a judge. And it's been very helpful. It's enlarged my heart to have compassion for those who's been deeply wounded, those who have great needs, those who think very wrongly, and to pray for them and want them to come to freedom. So I want to ask each of us to think, whose interest do I think about? The first one that Brother Naveen mentioned is, you know, our own interest and then our family interest, and that's important. We should not neglect our family because we think we're doing a mission. But do we have a vision larger than my immediate family? Do I love the brothers and sisters in the church? Do I love my neighbors? Do I love those who are doing very bad things in the world? Do I pray for them? That was shared today, too, was that the greatest way we can help people in general is to pray for them. And when we pray for them, the Lord may lead us into actions that communicate that love. So, whose interest do you think about? Who's on your prayer list? Who do you love? And may that list get long. And may you take that list to the Lord frequently and see the Lord work in answered prayer. And that'll bring joy. There's a verse in the Psalms that says, he who goes forth with precious seed to be sown with weeping will come again with joy. So we may weep over those who are in trouble, but we may find that as we pray, we'll have joy over them turning to Christ. And that's the joy, that's the greatest joy. John says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. I have seen lives change that has tremendously blessed me and have a joy over that. I have a joy over families loving children. I have a joy over people who used to not know that they were loved and that God wanted them, and now they are a child of God who is sharing the Lord with others. That's a joy to me, and that's a joy for all of us. If you turn with me to Hebrews, in Hebrews 11, or Hebrews 10, it speaks of loving each other in the church. So it says in chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So that verse about don't look on your own interest goes well with this verse. It says, let's consider how to stir one another up to love and good deeds. There are people who have stirred me up to love and good deeds, and I am so thankful for that. And that they were thinking about needs in my life that perhaps I wasn't aware of because I was young. And they sowed seed in my heart that bore fruit, and I'm so thankful for that. I can name names, but men who were Christian men who were like father when my dad wasn't a believer. And I'm so thankful for that. And sisters who were blessing in similar way. We read the story of Ruth this week for Brother Bill, and Naomi at some point, even early on, she says, you need a spouse, and I can't give it to you. And then later she sees that maybe Boaz is the one. Naomi is thinking about Ruth now, and that's this idea of consider how to help one another, encourage one another, provide for one another. In John's letter, he says, let us not word love in word only, but in deed and in truth. Recently, there was a shooting in a Catholic school in Minneapolis. And the mayor of Minneapolis, who is a Catholic, but I don't think a very believing Catholic, he said, let's not just have thoughts and prayers. But let's, you know, and then he went on to want to ban guns or whatever. But at least he had the word just. But he doesn't understand that when you pray for someone, it's not just words. And that when we pray for someone, God works through our prayers. So I want to encourage our prayers. I also want to encourage our reaching out, as we heard in the word about hospitality. So may this be true in our lives, that we love in word and we love in deed. And may we really see that the world needs Jesus. That's what the world needs most. There's a movie, I don't know how many of you have seen it, It's a Wonderful Life. Have you seen that movie? And George Bailey is suicidal and he wants to kill himself, and there's an angel who shows him what his town would be like if he had never lived, right? And it's a nasty place. And I'd like you to think for a minute, what would it be like if Jesus had never come in this world? it's unimaginable for us. And it says that he didn't look on his own interests, but he made himself no reputation, took the form of a servant, and was obedient even to the point of death on a cross. Wherefore God has given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus is Lord. Let's stand and pray. Oh Lord, we know that love is your nature. Your word says God is love, and we love because you loved us first. And Lord, we pray that we would be willing to live sacrificially in love, in because we love you, and you say, feed my sheep, you say, feed my lambs. We'd be willing, Lord, to give up our own interest because of others' needs and wanting them to know you, Lord. Lord, we pray for this. Give us a deeper love, Lord, right now, by the Holy Spirit, I pray. Oh, a deeper love for you, Lord. A deeper love for people around us. Oh, Lord, make us people who pray. Teach us to fellowship with you in prayer. Lord, may we ask for people by name that we want to see saved. Lord, may we be people who reach out and not stay to ourselves. Lord, we ask that you would bring a great harvest in our lives through us, Lord, for your glory. And we would have the joy of bringing our sheaves with us. Lord Jesus, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to sing another song, Bringing in the Sheaves. Can you project that, Evan? Are you still there? I can't see you because of the... Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilling breeze. By and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master, though the loss sustained our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, he will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. The field is large and white unto harvest, and no one covers the whole field. And every one of us touch a different piece of the field, and we want to be faithful to do our part in love for Christ. That there's no competition in this except the desire to please the Lord and wanting to do it for Him. Not for our glory, for His blessing and our joy. We ask that the Lord would bless us and keep us as we depart and go to the bonfire. But may we have testimonies of what God has done. We already have testimonies. May we have many more. Amen.